The big story around here, for a while, is going to be flooding. An update today on the Up North Lowdown from Interlaken Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. First, we head to Sheboygan, where water levels continue to rise behind the Sheboygan Dam. Officials there say they are doing everything they can to keep things under control. They held a news conference last night. New water pumps are being installed that can push up to 10,000 gallons of water every minute. So what happens if the dam breaks? Michelle Crook is an engineer with the Department of Natural Resources.
If this dam were to breach, it would not be some of the big failures you may have seen on TV or what we saw in Edenville. You would not get that big wave crest.
Crook says that's because the Sheboygan River is fully reinforced until it reaches Lake Huron. The water levels as of last night were 8 inches below the top of the dam, but that was before more rain moved through overnight. Things are also tenuous in Antrim County, where the Bel Air Dam is strained under the pressure of rising water levels. Fred Chacon lives along the Intermediate River, one of the first houses downstream from the dam, and people along that river were told to prepare for evacuation. Yesterday, Fred and some friends were lining up sandbags in his backyard.
These are a hot commodity right now, these sandbags. Everybody's buying them, so I bought all the ones at the hardware store. There are about 42 of them, and I may need to get more.
Chacon says his car is packed and he is ready to go if he needs to. For a better idea of what's going on at the dam, let's turn live now to IPR's Austin Rollator. He is on the line from the dam site in Bel Air. Austin, good morning.
Morning, Ed.
What do you see this morning after the rains last night? What's going on there?
Yeah, things have changed quite a bit since last night. Volunteers, about 40 people from the community and some firefighters came out in the middle of the night and filled 1,000 sandbags that are now lining the top of the dam. The excavators on the berm are finishing the repair work after a seep was detected in the earthen berm. And last night, the lake level or the water level rose slightly, so tensions are still high. But I just got an update from an engineer, and he said that the dam is holding steady. So that's a good sign. But, you know, there was a quarter inch of rain or so that fell in the area last night, and there's rain in the forecast for days. We're still getting water from Monday's rain making its way down to the dam. So nobody's letting their guard down yet, and I'm going to be here monitoring the situation.
Austin, as I know you've reported before, this dam is holding back water from a huge chain of lakes. I mean, we're talking about pretty critical infrastructure here.
Yeah, it's 20 miles of rivers and lakes. There's 9 lakes. The water levels of all of that area is regulated by this dam. And so if it were to fail, not only would there be immediate devastation, you know, through the village of Bel Air, but the lake levels in these places would go way down. They would be a trickle in some places or just a little river. People with waterfront property would have, you know, 100 yards of grass before they got to the creek. So it's a big deal. It's worth paying attention to, that's for sure.
And I know officials are, as you and I are speaking, they are all meeting to, I'm sure, as they do probably frequently now, to assess what's going on and what happens today. Do we have any idea of what today will bring by way of updates or more work on the dam?
Well, everybody's hoping that the water begins to recede or at least stays the same. It went up slightly last night. I think at this point, with the repair work on the seep being almost done, the sandbags out, the infrastructure tool is in place to fight this as best as they can.
All right. IPR's Austin Rollator at the Bel Air Dam, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Ed.
Beyond road closures and school closures and evacuation notices, there have been other impacts of the storm and the flooding. The storms have now hit one of Michigan's most iconic fisheries. A power outage at a key spot for collecting eggs from steelhead could threaten the upcoming fishing season. IPR Climate Solutions reporter Vivian Law has more on that from the Little Manistee River.
Staff at the Little Manistee River Weir toss dead fish into a dump truck. They're rolled in via wheelbarrow, and the fish, adult steelhead, are each at least 2 feet long. Tara Miller is a fisheries technician with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. She keeps count of how many dead fish they have filling up the back of the truck.
We have about 1,200, because he has a little bit on his counter.
The DNR was set to start collecting 4.5 million steelhead eggs on Tuesday, sending them to hatcheries in Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. But instead, staff spent the morning pulling dead steelhead from fish pens. The storm knocked out power to the weir, shutting off oxygen pumps. Staff say their backup generator failed, and so did the warning system. People come from all over the state to watch the egg collection. This weir is Michigan's only source of steelhead. Linda Barthel came from Ann Arbor. Instead, she's leaving with some dead steelhead in a bag and will use some of their eggs for bait.
And then this is actually my first steelhead trip.
Oh, you had to see it on your first steelhead.
Yeah, this is a bummer. This is kind of a sad day for everybody, both the people with the DNR and the anglers.
Mark Tonello is a fisheries biologist with the DNR. He says this is the staff's worst nightmare.
You know, it's personal for us. These are our babies, and this is the absolute last thing that we want to have happen.
DNR's chief of fisheries, Randy Claremont, says the lesson here is that they need a backup site for steelhead egg collecting, especially as extreme weather becomes more frequent with climate change. But that takes money.
Anybody will tell you, it's going to cost us. And if you're either going to pay those costs up front by preparing for them, or you're going to pay after the fact.
Claremont eyes a live fish that flopped out of the water and onto the boardwalk near the holding pens.
Get back in there, buddy. You can do it.
Yeah.
They're good jumpers.
They are.
Steelhead especially.
DNR staff at the Little Manistee River plan to collect eggs from the remaining alive fish this week. Power was restored by late morning, and almost all the pumps were functioning. For IPR News, I'm Vivian Law.
The entire IPR News team has been covering the many facets of this story, and we will, of course, continue to do so. You can find live updates on our website, iprnews.org. We want to take a minute and say thanks to our colleagues at WCMU Public Radio. We are teaming up with them for this coverage. What you've heard out of Sheboygan has come from their fantastic news staff. We will work together to cover a story of critical importance to our region, and we will watch over the next few days together what happens. That's the Up North Lowdown for this Wednesday, April 15th. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.